This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for joining us in the tafsir class. Today, inshallah, we will discuss an issue about the ayat of the Quran in general. This issue is called the fundamental and allegorical ayat. Or in Arabic, we could say al-muhkam wal-mutashabih. Scholars talked a lot about this issue, and it was confusing to some people. So I will try today, inshallah, to explain what do we mean by fundamental and allegorical ayat. This issue is important for us to understand because it will come and it will be repeated with us a lot during the tafsir, and especially when we reach Surah Ali Imran, inshallah. I want you first to read this ayah and think about the meaning. Try to read and reflect on this ayah. It is in Surah Ali Imran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. It is He who sent down to you the book. In it are ayat that are entirely clear. They are the foundations of the book, and others not entirely clear. So as for those in whose hearts there is a deviations, they follow that which is not entirely clear thereof, seeking the fitna, seeking al-fitna. This is in Surah Ali Imran, ayah number 7. So please do read the ayah again and try to see what does it tell you. How the Quran, in this ayah in particular, divided the ayat to two categories. And once you read, once you find something, you please tell me, so we will move on, inshallah. What do you have?
Ones that are clear, mm-hmm. and one that look
shabby. One are?
Very, like, night and day clear.
Very clear.
Very clear.
Okay.
One are mutashabihat.
Mutashabihat. Not clear. What do we mean by that?
Meaning may not be completely clear. You may not be able to understand it.
So, do you understand from this ayah that there are two types of the ayat?
Yes.
One type, the clear ayat, and one type ayat that are unclear. So, why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send down ayat that are unclear?
Al-ghayb.
What do you mean al-ghayb? The unseen.
So he can keep something for himself then.
If he wanted Allah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to keep something for himself, he would not send it down. So what do you say? Now,
so he can test people.
He can test people. So there are lessons. Even if you don't understand the ayah completely, you may learn some lessons. Now here, read the second ayah. Alif Lam Ra, Kitabun Uhkimat Ayatuhu Thumma Fussilat. This is Surah number 11, ayah number 1. And then Allah says in another ayah, Allahu Nazzala Ahsana Hadithi Kitaban Mutashabiha. This is Surah number 39, ayah number 23. Here, in these three ayat, if you understood them, then you understood the entire issue about muhkam and mutashabih. Remember, we said muhkam and mutashabih. In the first ayah of Surah Ali Imran, ayah number 7, Allah said, هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات. محكمات. Of the ayat are some ayat which are muhkamat. وأخر متشابهات and other متشابهات. Remember the term? محكمات متشابهات. Here, Allah says, كتاب أحكمت آياته. Allah is telling you, all the ayat are محكمات. Then Allah is telling you, الله نزل أحسن الحديث كتابا متشابها. The book which has similar ayat. So this matter is confusing. Look at the translation for the first ayah. of Surah Hud, a book whose ayat are perfected and then presented in detail. Then Allah says, Allah has sent down the book statement, the best statement in the book, a consistent book. The translation is helpful here because it gave you what Allah meant by the same words in different places. Allah mentioned in Surah Ali Imran, in ayah number 7, there are ayat muhkamat and ayat mutashabihat. Then in Surah Hud, Allah said, the ayat are muhkamat. Then in this ayah, Allah said, the ayat are mutashabihat. So which one do we follow? In one ayah, Allah is saying some are muhkamat, some are mutashabihat. In another ayah, Allah said all the ayat are muhkamat. In another ayah, Allah said all the ayat are mutashabihat. So which one should we follow? There is one method to reconcile between all these ayat, according to the meaning. Which means, if you say all the ayat are muhkamat, that's correct. And if you say all the ayat are mutashabihat, that's still correct. And if you say some ayat are muhkamat and some ayat are mutashabihat, that's still correct. How? You need to understand the meaning. That's why it's important to go to these ayat and understand them. Quran is divided to three types, according to this aspect. What aspect? Muhkam and mutashabih. Similar and allegorical. Fundamental and similar, or fundamental and allegorical. There are three types of ayat. General ihkam means all the ayat are muhkamat. And general similarity, all the ayat are similar. And partial ihkam and partial similarity. Or specific ihkam and specific similarity. So we have three divisions according to this aspect. We have general ihkam, we have general similarity, and we have specific ihkam, and partial specificity. First, which is the general ihkam? When we say all the ayat of the Quran are fundamental, or all the ayat of the Quran are muhkam. Muhkam in Arabic means strong, solid. And that's true about all the ayat. How? That's how we say it is muhkam. The eloquence. All the ayat of the Quran are eloquent. All the ayat. So from that aspect, all the ayat are muhkamat. Also, all the news in the Quran are true. You cannot come to one ayah and say, I will accept this ayah. And to another ayah, you will say, no, this news is not correct. All the ayat are muhkamat, means all the news are true. All the ayat have eloquence in them. From this aspect, we say all the ayat are muhkamat. No lies, no ill speech in the Quran. That's the ihkam of the Quran. That's fundamentalism of the Quran. All the ayat are muhkamat. Okay, what about the general similarity? When we say all the ayat are similar, that's also true. Because someone would ask you, do you tell me that قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ is the same as أَلِفْ لَمْ مِيمْ? قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, the Prophet ﷺ said, it equals one third of the Quran. But we can still say all the ayat are the same. How? All the ayat are same in the value, in the source. You cannot say this ayah from Allah and that ayah from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All the ayat came from one source, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from that aspect, aren't they the same? Yes, they are the same. All the ayat are the same. That's what we mean by similarity. All the ayat are the same. All the ayat give you truthfulness and perfection. So now, if I ask you, or someone, because this is a tricky question, if someone asked and said, are the ayat of the Quran similar? Or are the ayat of the Quran fundamental? or are they partially similar? Some of them are similar, some of them are fundamental. You could say all of this correct. All of them, all these answers are correct. If you mean by mutashabih, similar, that they are from the same source, yes, all of them are similar. If you mean all the ayat are fundamental, in a sense that there are no lies in the Quran, that's true. If you mean that some ayat have clear meaning and some ayat have unclear meaning, that's also true. So this is the issue of fundamental and similar ayat. The specific ihkam means the interpretation of the ayah. We have some ayat, they are muhkamat, which means you can interpret them. You have the clear meaning. And the specific similarity, which means that the meaning is unclear to many people or to everybody. There are some ayat, maybe no one on earth could know the meaning for them. But again, this is the question will come. If you say no one will know the meaning, then why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the Quran? Why He sent down this ayah? The answer is to test us. Are we going to believe or not? To encourage us to look for the meaning. Because some ayat are known for the scholars. Some ayat are not even known for the scholars. Those who are known for the scholars, you are recommended to go and ask about them. You ask the scholars. Those ayat that even the scholars do not know, you say, we believe. We believe. So it is important to understand the issue of muhkam and mutashabih before we move on, inshallah, to the tafsir. Because now we will start with the tafsir of the Quran. And by the way, tomorrow, before I forget, tomorrow, all of you are required to bring this book, inshallah. The next session of the Quran, tafsir of the Quran, whether it's tomorrow or after tomorrow, if it's tomorrow, then bring it tomorrow. If it's after tomorrow, then bring this book after tomorrow, inshallah. You have to have this book with you next time because we will read from it, inshallah. And I encourage you to read before you come. You have assignment reading this book. So, all the ayat are muhkamat in a sense that they are true, they give true news. There is no ill speech or lies in them. All the ayat are similar. All of them came from one source, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are all similar in perfection. They are all perfect. They are, some of them are muhkam in a sense that the meaning is clear, and some of them are mutashabih in a sense that they are unclear for some people or for everybody. Types of mutashabih. Now, we mean by mutashabih, what do we mean by that? The meaning is unclear. Now, that's the meaning we will choose for this topic. From that aspect, scholars divided mutashabih to two divisions, or to two types. Real mutashabih. What do we mean by real mutashabih? Which means all people will never be able to understand the meaning. All of them. This is what we mean by real mutashabih. And partial mutashabih. So we have real and partial. The partial mutashabih, for some people, it is difficult to understand. For some people. But for the rest, everybody knows the meaning. So maybe you come and say, this is unclear to me. For you, it is mutashabih. But for the scholar, he knows it. So for him, it is not mutashabih. It is muhkam. But there are some ayat, their meaning will not be clear to all people. No one will be able to know the meaning. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will know the meaning. So here is the question now. What should we do? You have an ayah that you do not know its meaning. What do you do? What do you do? You have an ayah you don't know. You ask the people of knowledge. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran. فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. Especially in the Quran, you cannot say anything by your own desire, your own inclusion. You cannot do that. It is forbidden. It is a sin, actually, to say something in the Quran with your own opinion, with your mere opinion. You have, even if you found out that you were correct, you are still sinful, blameworthy. You have to ask the people of knowledge. But if they themselves said, we don't know, so what do? You don't say, no, I have to find the answer. You say, we believe. That's what Allah said in Surah Ali Imran, in the ayah. وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ Those who are well established in knowledge, يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّ بِهِ We believe in it. كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا All from Allah. I'll give you an example. Allah mentioned His attributes in the Quran. الرَّحْمَنُ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ اسْتَوَى The Most Merciful rose over His throne. How did He rose? How did He rise over His throne? Do you know? Did you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Did you or didn't you? You did not. So can you interpret this ayah perfectly? Can you say that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rose over His throne? You cannot. What do? You say, I believe. That's why Imam Malik, rahimahullah, when the one man asked about how did he rise over his throne, he said, the question itself is bid'ah. We believe, but we don't know how. Allah mentioned it in the Quran, so we believe in it. Again, the purpose is to test us, to show us that we have to believe. So, the evidence is in this ayah, in Surah Ali Imran. Always, when you find someone trying to give the ayat, to quote the ayat that are similar, and he says, no, there is a contradiction, first of all, you have to believe that there is no contradiction in the Quran. If there is any possibility that there is a contradiction in the Quran, that means it is not from Allah, because there is something wrong. Always, once something is correct, then there is no contradiction. So you have to believe that the Quran is perfect, because it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, you have to follow what is clear for you, and you ask about what's unclear. If you were not given the answer, then you believe in it. Once you find someone trying to take this ayah and trying to know the meaning and no one knows the meaning, then he asks again, then you know that this man is troublemaker. He is following the similar ayat for the fitna, to cause a fitna. That's what Allah said in the ayah of Surah Ali Imran. So it is very important. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in the hadith that whoever follows the ayat mutashabihat, then those are the ones that Allah cautioned against. So avoid them. Do not fall into this trap. This is fitna. So we have general ihkam, and we have general similarity, and we have partial ihkam and partial similarity according to the meaning. What do you mean by mutashabih? Do you mean that they are all the same? Yes, all the ayat from Allah, they are all the same. All the ayat are perfect. Do you mean clear or unclear? Yes, some ayat are clear, some ayat are unclear. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he divided the tafsir to four types. Tafsir of the ayat, he divided it to four types. That's what Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma did. He said, tafsir of the ayat is of four types. He divided the tafsir of the ayat to four types. Tafsir that the Arab know in their language. Tafsir that the Arab know in their language. Tafsir that no one is excused of being ignorant of. So we have tafsir known by the language. When I ask you, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mean by al-layl? Layl means night. Nahar means morning. Salah, prayer. It is from the language. And there are things that no one is excused by saying, I don't know. Like what? وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ Do you know what does it mean, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ? Do you need someone to come to you and explain to you what does it mean, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ? Establish the prayer. perform them. Do you need anyone to tell you what does it mean? Do you need or you don't need? You don't need. So if someone came and said, I'm sorry, I did not know that I have to I had to perform prayer. No one told me. He will be told. You're not excused. When Allah says, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى, Allah made lawful bay, financial transactions, and forbade interest. And someone took interest and he said, no one told me, it is forbidden. There's no excuse. Everybody knows. Once Allah says it is forbidden, then it is forbidden. The third type, tafsir that the scholars know. Now, even if you are Arab, even if you know the language, you need to study, further studies. You need time. You need to ask until you become a scholar. You will know the tafsir. And the last one, tafsir that only Allah knows. Only Allah knows. No matter how much you advance in knowledge, you won't be able to know it. So now how many types of tafsir do we have? Four, according to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Tafsir that is known from the language of the Arab. Because again, the Quran was sent down in Arabic language. Tafsir that no one is excused of being ignorant, whether he is Arab or non-Arab. Allah said, فَكَفَّارَتُهُ إِطْعَامُ عَشَرَةِ مَسَاكِينَ. The expiation or the compensation is to feed 10 people. Do you come and say, I'm not Arab, so I will not understand what do you mean by 10 people? Everybody knows that. And tafsir, scholars know. It needs knowledge to know the meaning, which means not the layman will not be able to know it. How many people were in the cave? In the story of the cave? How many?
Four.
Four. Why? Don't you read Surah Al-Kahf?
Yeah, Allah says four.
Allah says, they will say three, and their fourth is their dog. And they will say five, and their sixth is their dog. Rajman bil ghayb. But Allah said, Rajman bil ghayb. They will say this, guessing. And they will say seven, and their eighth is their dog. Say, Allah knows best their number. So what do you think? What's their number?
Wallahu
alam. How about I know the number? And it is known. Because Allah said, قُلْ رَبِّي أَعْلَمُ بِعِدَّتِهِمْ مَا يَعْلَمُهُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. Only few know it. So inshallah, when you will know it, you are of the few that will know the number. There is a rule in tafsir. Yes.
The classic of Abbas said in the tafsir, only few who know.
Yeah.
Because Allah says few.
Yeah. So what's the number? There is a rule in tafsir that once Allah mentions something wrong in the Quran, like a claim of the kuffar, he will not approve it. Just an example. Now when Allah sends a prophet to his people, what do they say? That's how we found our parents doing. Is this true or not? Didn't they find their parents doing this or not? Yes, they found them. So Allah would not change that, because that's true. They found their parents, but that's not an excuse. Like in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah said about the disbelievers, وَإِذَا فَعْلُوا فَاحِشَةً قَالُوا. Once they fornicate, they commit a sin, they would say, قَالُوا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهَا أَبَاءَنَا. We found our parents doing this. وَاللَّهُ أَمَرَنَا بِهَا. And Allah commanded us to do this fornication. قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ. Say, Allah does not command fornication, command you to do something wrong. Allah did not say in this ayah, no, you did not find your fathers. That means it's true, they found their fathers. So that's correct part. But the second part is not true. So let's go back to Surah Al-Kahf. When Allah mentioned the two numbers, سَيَقُولُونَ ثَلَاثَةٌ رَابِعُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ. They will say three, and their fourth is their dog. ويقولون خمسة and they will say five and their sixth is their dog. Guessing. Allah said guessing. But when he said seven and their eighth is their dog, he did not say anything. That means that's the correct number. That's the correct number. Why? Allah does not approve anything wrong. He disapproved already the two. If the third is wrong, it should be disapproved as well. It should be said guessing as well. But Allah did not say that. That tells you they were seven and their dog is their eighth. That's the rule always. Now another example. In Surah An-Naml, when there was deliberation between Balqis and her followers, she told them, قَالَتْ إِنَّ الْمُلُوكَ. Indeed, the kings, when they enter a city, they will spoil it, they will destroy it. إِنَّ الْمُلُوكَ إِذَا دَخَلُوا قَرْيَةً أَفْسَدُوهَا وَجَعَلُوا أَعِزَّةَ أَهْلِهَا أَذِلَّةً. And they will make the honored people, the respected people in that city, they will make them humiliated. They will humiliate them. What did Allah say afterwards? وَكَذَلِكَ يَفْعَلُونَ. He said that's correct. Because if it was not correct, Allah would say that's not correct. It's not Allah who's saying Balqis, but since it's mentioned in the Quran, whether it should be approved by saying nothing or by disapproving it, which means it's wrong. So this is rule always in the Quran. Now why I am mentioning all this? To remind you that there are some meanings that they need further studying. They are a little bit accurate. Like the number is there. The number is there. But who knows it? Few people. When they apply the rules. And that's what we will learn, inshallah. What are the rules of tafsir? How can we implement these rules in the tafsir when we start, inshallah, the tafsir? Interpreters of the Quran. At the time of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who of the companions used to interpret the Quran? Give me some names. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Why? What's the evidence? Yes, exactly. The Prophet said, Allahumma faqihu fi din wa alimhu ta'wil. Teach him the interpretation of the Quran. Who else? Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, I don't know anyone who knows better than me in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know no one who has more knowledge than me in the book of Allah. And if I know someone who has more knowledge, I would go to ask him. Ubay ibn Ka'b, radiallahu anhu. Again, he had lots of knowledge. Zayd ibn Thabit. So these are few companions who had lots of knowledge in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, we have Abu Bakr as well, Umar radiallahu anhu, and Uthman. Now remember, whoever memorized the Quran at the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once you memorize the Quran, you don't only memorize it, but you understand the meanings as well. That's what they used to do. So whoever memorized the Quran, he had knowledge. But those companions, they excelled in this knowledge. After the death of the companions, or after the death of the Messenger ﷺ, at the time of the companions, who took from those scholars? We will notice that in Mecca, who was in Mecca? Who was in Mecca teaching the people? Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, we mentioned that in the fiqh, remember. He taught the tafsir to Mujahid, Ikrima, Ata ibn Abi Rabah. Those are some of the students of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma. Mujahid, he stopped Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, three times on every ayah. On every ayah, and he asked him. You could imagine how much knowledge Mujahid, rahimahullah, got from Ibn Abbas. He stopped him at every ayah three times. He recited the entire Quran once, stopping at every ayah, second time at every ayah, third time at every ayah. And he's asking Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. In Al-Kufa we have Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, who taught Qatada, Alqama and Al-Sha'bi. You see the line under Alqama. Who's Alqama? Do you remember him, Alqama? Yes.
Abdullah says, Abu Hanifa's teacher.
Yes, actually it's not Abu Hanifa's teacher, it's the teacher of Abu Hanifa. It is the teacher of Abu Hanifa. Ibn Mas'ud said, everything I know, Alqama knows it. Everything. So again, you cannot belittle this knowledge. You cannot underestimate it. They had lots of knowledge, those successors. In Medina, we have Abu al-Aliya, Zayd ibn Aslam. Abu al-Aliya will be mentioned a lot in the book. If you read the book of Ibn Kathir, especially in Arabic, in the translation also sometimes he's mentioned. Abu al-Aliya is the student of Ubay bin Ka'b, radiallahu anhu. So those are the followers of the successors. Those are the successors of the companions, of the messengers, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Those are their students, and from them, scholars took the knowledge of the tafsir. How we should interpret the Quran? You heard an ayah from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How you should interpret it? What do you do? What do you do? You start thinking, let me think. I like this meaning, so that's the meaning of the ayah. What do you do when you interpret the Quran? No answers? Yes. With other verses, exactly. We interpret the Quran with the Quran itself. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the meaning in general. And in another place, the meaning is mentioned in details. Do we have an example? Could someone tell me an example for this? The Prophet himself taught the companions one example. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ. Those who believed and they did not mix their belief with injustice. So the companions told the Messenger who did not do injustice? All of us do injustice. He said that's not what the ayah means. The ayah means إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. And he quoted the other ayah. So this ayah, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ, the ظُلْم, the injustice here, means not any injustice, it means the shirk. Because Allah said in the other ayah, إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Another example. Very good. Bazigha gave another example. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. Guide us to the straight path, the path of those on whom you bestowed your favor or your blessing. Who are they? The ones that got the blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah An-Nisa, actually there is another ayah in Surah At-Tawbah. Whoever obeys, وَمَنْ يُطَعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ, whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, فَأُولَٰئِكَ, those are with مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ, with the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed His favor upon. Of مِنْ النَّبِيِّينَ, prophets, وَالصِّدِّقِينَ, truthful, وَالشُّهَدَاءَ, martyrs, وَالصَّالِحِينَ, the righteous. So Allah mentioned four types of the people that He gave His blessings to. مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. So Allah said in one ayah, صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Who are those? مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءَ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. There are four types mentioned in another ayah. Another example, Allah said, وَلَقَدْ أَتَيْنَا مُوسَى تِسْعَ آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ. We have given Musa 9 clear ayat. Where are they? What are these ayat? We know that his hand and the rod, the stick. What else? Tufan, the flood. Jarad, grasshopper. Dafadi, frogs. Wal qummal, wal dam, blood. These are the ayat that were given to Musa, alayhi salam. So the Quran sometimes mentions the ayah in general, and then the details are mentioned in another ayah. What if you did not find the meaning in the Quran? Allah mentioned an ayah, but the meaning was not there. What do you do? if the interpretation is not mentioned in the Quran, what do you do?
In the hadith.
In the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Why? Why do we go to the hadith? Why do we go to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? No answer? Why should we go to the hadith?
Because it clarifies.
It clarifies. What's the evidence? It clarifies. What's the job of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? What's his mission? We sent down the dhikr, the Quran, in order for you to make it clear for them. That's the job of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to interpret the Quran. So anything you don't find it in the Quran, where you will find it? In the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's the job of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to clarify things to us. So if we did not find the interpretation of an ayah in the Book of Allah, we move to the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What if we did not find it in the Sunnah? Where do we go? Let's say we looked through the hadith, but we did not find the meaning. Where do we go?
Companions,
exactly. Companions, because you cannot ignore them. The companions who took it from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? They witnessed the incidents. They know why this ayah was revealed. I'll give you an example. When people misinterpret the ayah, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Do not cause destruction for yourselves. There was a battle, and one of the people, he jumped over to open the gate for the Muslims. And some Muslims said, quoted this ayah. They said, do not cause destruction for yourself. Why you are doing this? Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, he said, it was revealed because of us, this ayah. That's not the meaning of the ayah. He said, once we performed jihad and we were victor, we came back to Medina, we said, now it's time for us to take care of our farms, our ranches. We did not want to go for jihad more. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down this ayah, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Leaving jihad causes destruction. How would we know that this is the meaning without the companions? So the companions, they witnessed the revelation. They know why this ayah was revealed. So if we did not find the answer in the Book of Allah itself, we go to the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we did not find it in the Sunnah, we go to the companions. If it's not in the companions, we find it with their students, the successors, like Mujahid, Ata, Alqama, and Ikrima, because they took it from Abu al-Aliyah, they took it from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What if we did not find it there? What if you did not find it neither in the book, nor in the Sunnah, nor in the companions, or with the successors? What do? You go to the language. How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal the Quran in which language? Arabic, in the Arabic language. So you will find it in the Arabic language. That's the correct method to interpret the Quran. And actually, all this is mentioned in the book. What Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, it is here in the book. And the proper method of tafsir, it's also mentioned here in the book. And with this, inshallah, we will conclude our session for today. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبي محمد وعلى صحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.